item number 9 from the Office of the Sheriff, submitting an informational report regarding the issue of absentee ballots at county correctional facilities. This item is informational only and is otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Inspector Bailey.
Morning, Mr. Chair. Inspector Edward Bailey, on behalf of Sheriff Clark, I'm joined by Major Nancy Evans, a local media star. I saw her earlier this week on television. Mr. Chair, you have an informational report that was requested from the Office of the Sheriff in regards to inmate voting. I'll characterize it simply by saying that Wisconsin, in a true expression of progressivism, is on the forefront of allowing inmates to vote. It is easiest to understand the very limited inmates that may not vote. That's how progressive they are. Essentially, the only inmates that are truly prevented from voting are convicted felons during their period of incarceration while they're on parole or on probation. Otherwise, inmates that are not able to attend to the polling places are generally allowed the right to vote. It's a right afforded by the Registrar's Office and the Election Office. I gave you in the report the process that we use and a little bit of the law. I did run the numbers last night in preparation for my appearance this morning to give you an idea of the scope that we're talking about. We generally use the number 3,000 for our inmate footprint, plus or minus 3,000, but that's a good baseline number. At our central facility, we'd be looking in the area of 160 inmates. Those are inmates that are identified as being in custody in categories that I presume would enjoy the right to vote. I think that number may skew high because I haven't looked at each individual inmate to see if they may be on probation or parole for a felony that they're not currently in custody for. Mm-hmm. And I would estimate that at around 30%. At our south facility, we'd be looking around 500. It's actually 540. And again, I think that number skews high, maybe by a factor of 30%. Primarily, those are people that are in custody as misdemeanor pretrials, misdemeanor sentenced, municipal commitments, misdemeanor violation of probation, and arrested felons that have not been adjudicated as guilty, so they're pretrial felons. So that's, I suppose, the limit of my additional information with the report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Inspector, excuse me, Major, do you have anything to add?
No, unless you have questions.
Questions by committee members? Supervisor Joseph?
We've just had a primary date. Do you have any statistics for us on how many inmates participated, how many requested ballots?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Supervisor. I don't have the numbers. I can certainly find them out. I am unaware of any. I will say that our greatest experience in inmate voting is obviously in presidential and gubernatorial elections. I'm largely unfamiliar with it in primary elections. I will say that I was aware that this came to the committee, I think, as a request from one of your sister legislators. And in discussing this matter with the sheriff in preparation for my testimony today, one of the things the sheriff was certainly saying is if any member of the board or any recognized voter registration group wanted to work within our facilities, he certainly is amenable to that. It would be run through the office of Major Evans with simply the stipulation that anybody coming to our detention facility would have to go through the same security screening, including a very straightforward minor background screening that any of our volunteer members would. Thanks. Thank you.
Continues.
I appreciate that offer. I think that's a great offer, and I would just ask, is it Major Evans?
Yes.
Would you be willing to make a phone call to the League of Women Voters and see if they'd be willing to play that role?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, yes.
Thank you. If someone doesn't have an ID, they can be given a provisional ballot. Did any of that take place on the primary voting day?
You can answer if you know. I'm just unaware of any in the primary election. So I'm not aware of any specifics. I'm unaware of any actual voting for the major.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, there were zero requests for the primary election. Thus far, for the April election, we only have two. There are signs posted in every housing unit. They're told about it in the orientation speech at the end of each day. We have made provisions to allow family members to drop off IDs, which we will make copies of. So we are definitely willing to cooperate with this process.
Okay, appreciate that. I mean, if ballots are requested and you have individuals from multiple municipalities, I would assume, and municipalities can all have different kinds of ballots. So, you know, it could require some effort to get the ballots from the correct jurisdiction. I assume that they're not using the address of the House of Correction. Am I correct in that assumption? That they retain their place of residence?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, we have centralized it because you've hit on a key issue. It's an important right, but it's a right that has to be closely guarded. So we have literally one command staff member who all of the process funnels through to keep that close control. She will work with the electoral offices in both the home area and Franklin to make sure that only one ballot is being cast and it's being cast in the right location. The real answer to your question is it's a matter of pre-conviction or post-conviction, so there are some intricacies to it, and that's why it's important for us that we have it funneled through one operational member.
Could I just, it doesn't surprise me that no one requested a ballot in the last primary. We had very low voter turnout. In a lot of municipalities, the only candidates were some judicial candidates. We are heading towards November, which is going to be a presidential election. I think this is a real opportunity for your office to try to get this this in place. And I appreciate the attitude, and I do hope you will contact League Women Voters. They may be willing to assist you with this and get a good procedure set up. You have the April 3rd election to further, you know, fine-tune this. And then perhaps by November, you'll really be able to, you know, to say we've made a good effort at giving these individuals the right to vote. So thank you for that.
Supervisor Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last sentence of your report, Inspector, indicates that the individual is notified by the jailer in writing at the time of his or her the restoration of those voting rights. Is there communication also with the Election Commission in that case, or you know, the Election Commission, it would be governing that individual's voting under normal circumstances based on a home address?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Supervisor. The notification to that body would come through our agency at the time of the submission of a request for ballot. There's no pre-notification of us to be like, comes through with the request for ballot application.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank the inspector and the major for a very, very thorough report. I think you anticipated many of the questions that we would have otherwise asked, I think. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Supervisor. I appreciate that. It's our pleasure to do so.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Supervisor George?
I would like to make motion to place this on file so the whole board gets it.
Supervisor Jurczyk moves to receive and place on file item number 9.
On the motion to receive and place on file, Supervisors Jurczyk?
Aye.
Wyshon?
Aye.
Cesars?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Biddle?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.